good. This is... We were talking about pie to an engineer this afternoon, so I had to get my shirt out for him. You want to talk about being in the Alaskan food chain? We drove the Alcan this summer. Talk to my wife about it. The mosquitoes are great. One of my favorite authors is Patrick McManus. I don't know. And I want to share one of his stories. If you know of him, you'll know his humor. I made two basic mistakes that day. The first was going fishing with Al Finney. The second was playing the guitar. The first was going fishing with Al Finney and Rich Sweeney at the same time. They can't stand each other. But I thought maybe a day of fishing together in a small boat would create one of those male bonding things between them. My other mistake was renting a boat from Fizzy, the owner, manager, maintenance man, and sole employee of Fizzy's fishing resort, which consisted of a rotting dock, a half a dozen dilapidated shacks, and Fizzy has the gall to rent as cabins. "You fellas renting a cabin for the night?" Fizzy asked as we unloaded our gear from the rear of Al's station wagon. "Only $28. I throw in the breakfast." He wiped a dribble of tobacco juice off his stubbly chin with a greasy sleeve. "How much if you don't throw in breakfast?" Rich asked. "Same rate either way." "What kind of deal is that?" Rich asked. "I think we should get a substantial discount if we eat breakfast." "No cabin, Fizzy," I said. "We're just out for the day. All we need is a boat. You got one that's lake worthy?" "All my boats is lake worthy," Fizzy snapped. "Only problem I ever have with these boats is from fellas who don't know nothing about boats. Had two nincompoops in here just last week. Rented a boat, then abandoned it at the far end of the lake. Must have scaled that cliff, hiked all the way back through the woods and swamp, then sneaked to their car out of the parking lot without me catching them. Darn fools." "Parking lot," Gretch said. "I don't know you have a parking lot, Fizzy. How come we always have to leave our car in this pile of rocks?" "This pile of rocks is the parking lot." "Now you want a boat or are you just going to jaw me all day? I got business to run." "Really, what is it?" said Rich. I could see that Rich was feeling more ornery than usual, and that did not bode well for me being trapped all day in a leaky old boat with him and Finley. Al Finley, a banker, happens to be a fanatic about such things as proper etiquette, tidiness, order, and reason. And already a car, old concepts that, as Rich points out, don't even help you shoot a decent game of pool. "Let's take a look at those boats," Al said, walking out on the dock. "I'm already putting my life at risk merely going fishing with you two bozos. I would at least like to increase the minimal probability of my survival by finding a boat with only modest similarity to a sieve." We examined several of Fizzy's boats, rejecting one right off for the reason that the only evidence of its existence was a bowline tautly disappearing into the water at the edge of the dock. We did, however, spend a few moments contemplating the straining bowline. "Don't pay no attention to that boat," Fizzy said. "I'm just soaking it a bit to tighten up some of the seams. Right now, here is a good boat." "This boat?" Rich said. "You're calling this boat sound, Fizzy? Why, it's an old George Washington probably used it to cross the Delaware. But what the heck? If it was good enough for George Washington, it's good enough for us. We'll take it." "You must be mad," shouted Al. "Can't you see it's leaking? There's no way I'm going to go out in that monstrosity." 2 hours later, Rich and I had each boated a couple of nice bass. "Can you believe that, Finley?" Rich said. "Worried about a little water in the bottom of the boat." "Yeah," I said. "I've been out here in worse boats. Hand me the bailing can." "Trick is not to let the leakage get ahead of you. If Finley had known that, he wouldn't have been so nervous. Would you two bozos stop talking about me as if I weren't here?" Al said. "By the way, I think it's Rhett's turn to row for a while. The outboard motor had actually run for a good 20 minutes or so, just along to get us far up the end of the lake. Then it had died, probably of natural causes, old age being the best bet. Row us a little closer to shore, Finley, Rhett said. That looks like some good bass water over there. Oh, for Pete's sake. Here we are adrift in a leaky boat, and you can't think about anything other than catching fish. Got nothing else to do, Rhett said. Boy, wait until I get a hold of that old fizzy. Without realizing it, that at that very moment started the horrible contest. Oh, you won't do anything to Fizzy. You know, he's not quite all there. Oh, I know that, said Rich. He's been about half bubble off plum for years. Then Al contributed. It was quite obvious to me that his elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. He rowed us along in silence, saving for the splash of the oars. After a bit, Rich said, yeah, Fizzy's only got one oar in the water. More thoughtful silence. Quite true, Al said. You might even say he's not playing with a full deck. Enough, I shouted. Let's simply agree that Fizzy is a little bit off his rocker. Rhett and Al glared at each other in a manner of reminiscent of old war movies about men adrift in a lifeboat, slowly but surely going mad. The sun beat down upon us. The oarlocks squeaked hideously, and our voices turned hoarse from thirst, there being nothing to drink but a lake full of water. Oh, all right. He's a little bit off his rocker, Rich croaked. But I'd have to say Fizzy's at least got one wheel in the sand. Al, he's one brick shy of a load. Rich, he's got bat in his belfry. Al laughed. Fizzy isn't wrapped too tight either. Rich sat for a long while, his brow furrowed, and thought, okay, the problem with Fizzy is that his bulb isn't screwed all the way in. I've never heard that one before, Al said. That's because I just made it up. Foul! You just can't make up these insanity expressions. Why not? Somebody makes them up. Oh, so you want to play hardball, huh, Sweeney? Okay, let me see. I got one. His dipstick shows a quart low. His dipstick? You're the dipstick, Finley. That doesn't make any sense. What does sense have to do with it? Your turn. Stop, I cried. I can't take this anymore. We're not stopping on my turn, Rich growled. Let's see. I lay back with my head on the bow line and tried to block out the insanity contest. Then I must have drowsed off. For how long, I'm not sure. Suddenly, once again, I became aware of the angry, rasping voices of Al and Rich. Al, his glue never quite set up. Rich, he's one bean full of a short can. Al, his anchor doesn't go all the way to the bottom. Rich, he needs an adjustment on his vertical hold. Al, his spin dry has one sock out of balance. Rich, his tail is too short for the kite. Al, his boat is leaking fast and wing bell. Rich, his fuse don't go all the way to the powder. Al said, his boat is leaking fast and wing bell, you fools, we're gonna sink. Nothing so simulates alertness as a boater as that cry, we're going to sink. I responded in the traditional manner, which could easily be mistaken for by an uninformed observer as frenzy of bailing. It was several seconds before I realized I wasn't holding the bailing can, which had been snatched from me by Rich. Al was on his knees bailing with cupped hands. I joined in with my own cupped hands. Pausing a moment to make a calm and logical assessment of our situation, including the standard comparison of one's endurance as a swimmer with the distance to the nearest shore, I noticed that the water in the boat showed distinct signs of current. I suspected that something basic had given away somewhere in the aft region of the rickety craft. A suspicion confirmed by the fact, but a few moments later, the three of us were sitting in the boat submerged up to its gunwales. There was nothing to do but go over the side, grasping the gunwales, and kickstroke our way to shore. As we paused to take a breather, Finley popped both his elbows up in the gunwales and grasped, well, this fishing trip with you two bozos is turning out better than I expected. At least I'm still alive. Don't blame us, Rich said. It's Fizzy's fault. I always knew he was about half twist off tight. That insight hardly qualifies you as whatever, Al responded. Any fool could see that he was one egg short of an omelet. Yeah, well, I would have to say Fizzy is. I judged the swimming distance to the nearest shore now to be about a half mile, or twice my best swimming distance in recent years. Only a desperate person would even consider taking such a risk. I started off with a backstroke. After I had scaled the cliff and was slogging my way through the swamp back to Fizzy's, it suddenly struck to me. Alan Retsch were both a couple pickles shy of a full barrel.
Well, that wraps it up, but I do have one more knock-knock joke for everybody who is 12 and younger, except my daughter who's glaring at me. Knock-knock. Pastor. Past your bedtime. Aha. See you tomorrow. Good night.